Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around the district and from further afield. Coming up later, why does the quality of the air in our houses need urgent action? But first, you might have heard of the Green Flag Scheme that lots of local schools participate in and are rewarded for their efforts to help the environment. Well, St Paul's Church on the corner of Hatfield Road and Blandford Road is the first church in St Albans to have been awarded the Bronze Eco Church Award. And I've got with me now Sheila and Caroline from St Paul's. Welcome, thank you for joining us in the studio. So why did St Paul's decide to do this award?
Well, we've had an environmental group at St Paul's for quite a long time, since we did the building extension there, which included quite a lot of environmental strategies within it. And we heard about the Eco Church Award on the Arosha website. Arosha is an environmental charity, and we decided that that would be a very good thing for us to try and achieve, because it would flag up various issues amongst the church itself and encourage people to be more sustainable.
Thank you, Sheila. So, Caroline, what did you have to do to get the award then?
Well, for this level of the award, it was actually about filling in an online questionnaire. And there were five areas that we had to answer questions about. They were to do with our worship and teaching, how we look after our church buildings, how we manage our church land, how we're involved with the community and global engagement, and our own lifestyle. So we had to answer questions and achieve a certain level in each of those areas for us then to be able to qualify for the bronze level of the award.
So am I right in thinking that actually you were already doing enough things? It was just a matter of telling them about the great things you're already doing?
Yes, it seems that we were, which was very fortunate for us.
Okay, I see. And that's quite interesting. So it wasn't just about things like, you know, making sure that the church was insulated enough. It was actually about, as you say, the preaching of the church, you know, the way in which you talk about the environment as well.
Actually, one of the areas that it did spur us to action on was to invite some visiting speakers into our church, and that helped us to increase our points for one of the areas.
Right, OK, so that sounds quite positive then. And was it popular? I mean, how did people respond to the speaker?
The speakers were very popular and very well responded to. People didn't really know much about the Eco Church Award, but fortunately we were about to publish our Sustainable St Paul's news sheet, and we were able to put a piece about the Eco Church Award in that. So that made it a bit more well known, right, and hopefully more popular.
Okay, did it have other benefits? Was there any sort of knock-on benefits of what you had to do, or just the raising awareness, I suppose?
I think the main benefit has been the raising the awareness of environmental issues within the church, and also highlighting to people how very simple it often is to make little changes that are actually going to make quite a big difference.
Yeah.
It also encouraged the clergy to encourage other speakers to come, because which they hadn't been that keen on before. So we were very pleased that they were very welcoming of the speakers that we invited.
Yes, it's funny actually, isn't it, that doing something that involves an award or a scheme, it just sort of makes things a little bit more official and seem more relevant, doesn't it? Excellent. So would you recommend that other churches take part in the Eco Church scheme?
We discussed
who's going to answer that one. Sheila, are you going to answer that then?
I think that several other churches in St Albans are involved in the scheme at the moment. I think we're the first one to actually get an award, but I think there are several other churches, and certainly many of the churches who've been involved in Sustainable St Albans are aware of the Eco Church Award and will have gone and started on that process.
Excellent. Now, the big question, is that it? Is it only going to be bronze, or do you have plans to make St Paul's even more sustainable?
Well, we think that we're already able to tick a few boxes towards our silver level now. So
right.
we do plan to keep going with it and hope that we'll be able to come back and tell you in some time that we've achieved a silver level.
Caroline and Sheila, thank you very much indeed, and we look forward to that. Now, you can find all the information that we've just been talking about there on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. Now, you're probably sick of me finding you stories about air pollution. You already know that heavy standing traffic makes a number of spots around St Albans prone to health-threatening levels of air pollution. But it came as a surprise to me to read that the Buildings Research Establishment, BRE, down in Garston, think that we should be taking indoor air pollution more seriously. I spoke to Andy Dengel, the director of BRE Environment, to find out more. Thank you very much indeed for joining me. Now, where did the concern about indoor air pollution start?
Well, I think for a long time people have been concerned about air pollution in general, and of course a lot of that is outdoor pollution that we know about, things like roads and industry.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered that a number of times, and as you say, it's a big issue now, isn't it?
That's right, but always there has been the fact that we spend 80 or 90% of our time indoors. There's been concern with the way we build buildings at the moment. We want to be more energy efficient, and that's good, we save energy, but sometimes we build very airtight.
Yeah.
So then it comes down to, do we ventilate properly? And in cases where we don't, air quality can be a concern. So really, the problem has moved, if you like, and we're saying, well, what's the exposure? And a lot of the exposure will be indoors. So that's what's really brought up the agenda.
OK, and there was a particular paper where this came out, wasn't there?
That's right. February 2016, the Royal College of Physicians did a report. They had a working party and issued a report which talked about the lifelong impact of air pollution, and it's called Every Breath You Take, and you can get that on the web. The same authors approached BRE probably 6 months ago and said, well, we want to do the same for indoor air quality, because one of the main recommendations of the report was that indoor air quality was very important.
Yes, they were quite sort of surprised that actually, I think they set out with outdoor air quality in mind, but realised that, you know, the elephant in the room was indoor air quality, wasn't it?
In some ways, yes, and of course, that then comes down to occupants and what they can do to maybe make things better, and what they need to say when they're in their office or in their school. So, yes, it becomes a wider thing than a global or national.
So as a result of Every Breath We Take, as you said, the Royal College of Physicians came to BRE, and you're planning further studies now, aren't you?
That's correct. So we had a launch event in April, and about 62 people turned up from all different stakeholders, so from academia through to local authorities through to product manufacturers. And we talked about, you know, what was the evidence so far, what is being done so far, and what more can be done, and how do we incentivise it, how do we make it happen.
Right.
So out of that, over the next couple of months, we are going to put together a working party, as for the last report, and hopefully within 6 or 9 months we'll publish a big report which says this is the problem, what can we do about it, and give some clues about how that might happen.
Okay, so hopefully this should be a call to action and sort of show the way forward then.
That's right, and there's a lot here. I mean, some of it is about education, so that's the public, that's building owners, right, I think, from schools, letting people know what they can do.
Right.
To make a difference, but then it will really be about what technology is there and what are the barriers to adopting it. So is it cost, is it legislation, stuff like that, and hopefully we'll get a movement that says we need to be doing something about it and sort of chip away at the problem.
Right.
Because at the moment, you know, it depends which figures we look at, but we reckon that about 40,000 deaths a year in the UK can be attributed to air pollution.
Right, OK, so it's a pretty high figure, and as you say, given that we spend 80% of our time inside, probably quite a lot of that is attributable to indoor air pollution, so this is obviously very important. So where does indoor air pollution come from?
OK, well, there's a whole range. Now, first of all, it comes from outdoors, so unless you've got a really tight building where there's fresh air all the time that's treated, a lot of that will come from outside, so you've got things like traffic, construction, the stuff we know about. But there's a whole lot more, so first of all, there's the actual products, the construction products, the furnishings, the paint and the adhesives we use.
Yeah.
Then there's a whole load of cleaning products, consumer products, fragrances. On top of that, you've got things like smoking and vaping. You have pets, so you can have things coming from pets.
Yes.
And finally, one of the biggest polluters is actually water vapour. So people don't think of that. And of course, if you've got a damp house, you've got damp you can get mould, and that can exacerbate things like asthma. So
right.
It's a whole range.
So, it's not really the water itself. It's what it causes that causes the
exactly.
Problems.
So yeah, if you have a damp house, you can get mould. From the mould comes spores, and then that can cause problems. And of course, not only that, it can spread. You also get things like VOCs coming off mould. So it can be complex.
Yeah.
And we're not wanting to scaremonger, but I think there's a whole range of pollution, some of which we can do something about.
Yeah, well, certainly from the list that you gave there, there's definitely things that we could do. As you say, things like fragrance products and house cleaning products. But there's another reason, isn't there, why actually air pollution is so much more critical now than it used to be, with our houses becoming
absolutely
tighter, as it were.
Yeah, so since in the last 10 to 15 years, there's been a big energy efficiency agenda. And that was right, because we needed to limit the amount of carbon. Mm. But so the payoff there is that we build very airtight. And as I said earlier, if you don't then ventilate properly and don't have enough fresh air, you can have problems. And so anything that's in the air is going to become more concentrated. The air doesn't get mixed.
Yeah.
And there's the potential that any pollution will be worse for the occupants.
Yes.
Yeah. I say this depends where you live. If you can naturally ventilate and throw open the windows, that's fine. Some of the biggest problems come in urban settings where it's just not possible to open the windows and you're relying on some sort of mechanical ventilation.
Yeah. But also, as you say, there must be a balance, wasn't there? Because insulation is still important, and keeping our homes warm without paying a fortune for heating is also important as well. So it will be interesting to see what your report says about how we can find the right balance there.
Yeah, I think so. And insulation is needed. But I say we've come from a place maybe 50, 100 years ago when houses were leaky. Probably a good thing because we used to use fires and stuff like that. So there's somewhere for the smoke to go. But they were leaky. So that some of the air pollution problems we're talking about now weren't there because of that. Now we've made them more airtight. We just got to find ways to move the air through and dilute any pollution.
Yeah. Excellent. So the study that you're doing, that could be concentrating on homes, you say, but presumably this will also be applicable to other indoor spaces as well.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, offices, schools, hospitals, care homes, it's all applicable. And a lot of the knowledge will be transferable. I think the only difference is, whereas in a school or maybe at most offices, there's a facilities manager, a building manager, a building management system, which can help to monitor and do things. In the home, it's down to the homeowner, or in social housing, it's down to the housing association.
That's
the real problem. It's which stakeholders are able to do something.
Excellent. And when do you hope to report back on this? When will we know the findings of your studies?
Well, certainly when we met in April, the idea was to put the working party together during the spring and then try and do this reasonably quickly so we could publish spring 2018 at the latest.
Yeah.
That's what we'd like to do. So I can't guarantee that, and it's really watch this space. There'll be stuff on the web.
Jolly good.
With the progress.
Lovely, Andy. Well, I hope you'll come back and tell us what you find, because this sounds like it'll be a very interesting report indeed.
Absolutely. Thanks very much.
Lovely. Thank you. I was there talking to Andy Dengel of the Buildings Research Establishment down in Garston. And you can find all the information from what he was talking about there on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. Now, if you remember, I talked a little while ago to Charlotte Hussey about Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust's 30 Days Wild, a whole month of doing small things to take us a little closer to nature and the environment. And of course, we're into June now, so it's all going ahead. And do take a look at our Twitter feed, RV_environment, to see what I've been up to. And take a look at the environment pages of the Radio Verulam website for the podcast containing my chat with Charlotte Hussey about this and all the information that you need on how you can join in the fun. And it really has been fun, actually. It's just have a little bit of nature into your life. I think it's really quite good for you, and you're just thinking about it, having that little nudge of having a scheme just makes you just do something like think, oh well, you know, I could go and sit outside and have my breakfast perhaps today, or go and sit on the lawn to have my lunch. So nice ideas there. Now, the People's Trust for Endangered Species, actually, they've got a nice thing you can do if you're outside. They've once again launched their Great Stag Hunt. Now, it's beetles, not deer. if you can help them by recording any sightings of stag beetles. These are quite big beetles with very distinctive sort of horns. Last year, people like you saw over 6,000 of these beetles, the highest number ever recorded, actually, since the survey began in 1998. Very easy to do. Just if you're out and about in your garden, you see one of these beetles, you can visit the PTES website and let them know about your sightings, and that will help them to focus their wider conservation strategy, because these really rather lovely, rather striking insects are not doing as well as they might do. You might also be interested to know that the gardens are open at Ayot St Lawrence under the National Garden Scheme this weekend. On Saturday, they're open from 11 till 5, and from Sunday, they're open from 2 till 5. You'll be able to go and see the Ruins Cottage and also the West House. Lovely mature gardens with both of them. Really lovely sort of traditional English gardens. And not only that, but there's a beautiful tree deck, sort of like a tree house but without a roof on it, where not only can you enjoy a lovely drink, but also there's splendid views over the Ayot estate. So that's very highly recommended. There'll also be cream teas and things as well for you to enjoy, and of course you'll be contributing to a fantastic charitable effort, so that's well worth an effort this weekend. And also, these get booked up very often, so this is a little bit in advance, but the Harpenden Common Evening Walk run by the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust will be on Tuesday the 20th of June, 6:30 to 8, and this is going to be a lovely evening walk to see the results of their recent conservation walk. You do have to book that, so as I say, it's a little bit of an event, but do book that now. That's not suitable for children. That's an adult event. Now, you can find all the information about those events on the Environment page of the Radio Verulam website. You can also listen there to the podcast. We always love to hear from you. Tweet us at rv_environment, and you can email us at environmentonrv@gmail.com. So that's all for this week. Until the same time next week, thank you for listening.